All right, I believe we left off. Where are we on y'all's page number? Do y'all remember?
13.
So we were looking at the blessings, or the reminder that sometimes we're reminded of things, and just like in this book, it can help remind us of the blessings that we have in Christ. We're reminded of God's grace. We saw that in Ephesians 2:8. And we know that without God, without this love, that we could not be in this new state that was described in Ephesians 2:1 and following. And so when we remember these things, we remember these blessings that we have, this great love that was shown for us.
Of course we earned it all.
Sir?
Yes, of course we earned it.
Of course we earned it all?
Yeah, we worked for it.
Not quite, huh?
Not quite.
Yeah, so it is, indeed, it is not out of anything that we've done, but out of God's grace and love for us that this was provided for us. And when we look back through this first three chapters, you know, we see the things that was done on our behalf, and we recognize that, like Ennis just said, it's not anything that we've done. It's indeed a love that's hard to truly comprehend. We trust and believe in it, but when we really think of what was done on our behalf, it's truly a great love. And then that's when we get into the other chapters that we started in, we see this idea, it should cause us to want to live a certain way, you know, to live in a worthy manner. Now we started off, I think it was right before class ended, when we were just talking about this idea of remembrance, because I brought up the Lord's Supper. Because we see that Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." We recognize that it's not because we forgot who He is, but sometimes the way we live our life might show that. And we're given reminders, and we're reminded of what was done for us. So we can reflect upon our life and think about, is this the way that we should be living our life? And if we focus on what Christ has done for us and we remember these things in the right manner and with the right attitude, then it should cause us to do. Yes, sir.
As we live our lives and things happen to us, people don't treat us the way they really should treat us, you know, or say things the way they shouldn't say it. You know, we need to make sure that we can remember what God did for us in His grace. You know, loving mankind and doing what He did for mankind whenever they didn't even deserve it. You know, that kind of love we're supposed to try, and it's not easy. You know, but it's something we have to practice. You know,
so we have an example.
We train ourselves. We have to make ourselves good. But it does not come natural.
Right.
You know, come natural. What comes naturally is somebody doesn't know I'm doing wrong.
Yeah.
You know. So it's something we have to train ourselves on. Something we have to work at. Something we have to force ourselves to do.
Okay.
It's
and why do we do that?
Because that's what God wants to do.
Okay.
We deserve, you know, love Him. If we love Him, if we want to serve Him, then we're going to do that.
Okay, and he's worthy of us living our life for Him.
Well, if we want to be forgiven, then we have to be forgiven.
Right.
We have to have the same attitude He has if we want Him to have that.
Okay. Any other comments or thoughts? No? Okay? Now, when we think of ways that we could be reminded, I put the question, how can we be reminded? And what I meant by that is, how can we be reminded of the things that God's done for us? Is it possible that we can come to a state that we forget God? Okay. But when we get to that state, have we really forgotten Him? We know who He is.
Yeah. It's just like in the Old Testament, you look at the number of times it talks about how the Israelites forgot God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how many times it says that they forgot God.
Right.
They got so busy in their lives doing what they were doing that they didn't acknowledge.
So it has to do with your attitude. Yeah. Attitude towards God. Did you have a question? Yes, sir.
Well, when you said that, I think that something that could help us is, like, for instance, if we live our lives and we have an incident that occurs and we're scarred, that scar helps us to remember, hey, I won't put my hand in that anymore because I get, I get cut or something. See, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, I mean, this is something, if there's a way we could mentally remember the scar, which is the cross, then that should help us.
Okay, remembering what Christ did.
If we read our Bible every day, we're going to be reminded every day.
Yes,
ma'am. Christ did for us.
I think that's one of the things is, as well as reading, which is a good thing. I mean, that's the thing, that one of the things to do, but it's to make a habit of it so that's part of our lives.
Okay.
Prayer, reading, those things are habits for us. Mm-hmm. So we do those every day, and it's even still, we can't forget.
Well, what about what we're doing right now?
We're going to attend services, attend gospel meetings.
Okay, gospel meetings, classes, home Bible studies. Any of these can be tools that we can use that can help us. But now, even if we're doing that and we're praying, we're going to class, we're attending services, can we do that and still be in trouble? It goes back to our attitude, because we can do things out of rote. We can pray and not even be thinking about what we're saying. We can attend services, and it might look good to other people, but if we're not truly doing this with the right attitude and striving to get out of it what these things were designed for, then they're not going to help us in the way that we need the help. I mean, because I think about prayer, and that's an awesome tool, because you think about, which we'll get into this once we get later in the class, but when you think about wanting to help somebody, maybe you're at a point you can't be financially helpful to somebody. You know somebody in need, or there might be something else going on in their life and there's really not much that you can physically do to help that burden. One way you can help them, and they might not even know about it, but you're not doing it for that reason. One way you can help them is to pray about it. And that's something that any one of us can do. And so there's... prayer is just such a great tool, because I'm calling people. Yeah? Yes, sir. But I think of that. Prayer can be such a good tool that, I mean, we can go to God on behalf of other people. Go to Him with our concerns. Go to Him with thanksgiving. I mean, it's just such a... a great thing that He's provided for us through Christ. I'm sorry, sir.
Anytime.
Yes, sir.
It's like a cell phone. Right? All the time.
Do you have a comment, right here?
In addition to the things we've talked about, I think we think about is meditation.
Okay.
Sometimes, we do our Bible lesson and we go and pray and we do all these things and go to work and whatnot. A good time just to sit back and think and contemplate, the scripture we have and just dwell upon it, think, mm-hmm. meditate upon it.
I agree. I think meditation is very good. And especially combined with after you're doing that, if you go and you look over it some more, so you're keeping everything fresh and growing in it. That's meditation, a very good tool. Yes, sir.
One of the things is purposing in your heart. You know, to make up your mind before things come up, it's how you're going to respond to those things based on what you understand and know from the Bible, from God's Word, and what He would have you do. Like Daniel, you know, he purposed in his heart what point that he was not going to defile himself with whatever, the king's food and things like that. But he made up his mind ahead of time. It wasn't a matter of he was confronted with a situation and he had to sit down and think about it. He already knew. He had already made up his mind how he would react in a godly way, or that he would react in a godly way and do what God wants him to. And so it really wasn't a difficult decision. He had already made a decision.
That's a good point, because we see that. We can understand that in other parts of our life. We'll take Catherine, for instance. When you're working on people, I guess the best way to put it, like any of that, because of what you're doing with your nursing, that's not something you wanted to. You don't want to learn how to give an IV just by, oh, here, throw me in it. Which part of your learning might have been that, but what I mean is you prepare yourself in situations and understanding of things so you might be prepared on certain situations. It has to do with what you've already decided, how you're going to do things. We see that with people that, well, Steve uses Olympics a lot. People that are training for certain things. People that are training for fighters or whatever. They already know how to counteract certain moves and this, that, and the other because they've practiced. They understand the things and they put into practice things.
In other words, gather your supplies
for going to college. You know, making decisions on their own.
Try.
Gather your supplies like before you go out.
Okay, so it's being prepared.
Equipping yourself.
Equipping—that's a good term. Mm-hmm. Equipping yourself.
It's a good thing to be teaching your children to do, also. Mm-hmm. You know, I know a lot of times I wanted peace and quiet when I did my Bible lesson, so I didn't do it when my children were around.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think back on it, and Steve has mentioned it several times. You know, as a parent, maybe we should be doing these things in front of our children so they know how important it is.
Because sometimes they might think, oh, well, Mom doesn't study, which that wasn't a fact, but...
They want to say it out loud anyway.
Okay, so we see that different ways that we can be reminded of these things. What does Ephesians... Was there any more thoughts or comments? Or no, okay. What does Ephesians 3:4... tell us?
When you read, you can understand.
Okay.
My insight into the mystery.
Okay. So we see that, first of all, we see that we can understand what we read. And that we also see that reading is one of the ways that we can understand this mystery. We can grow in knowledge by reading and understanding what we read.
And that's the direct truth that we're getting. I mean, it's not like just taking somebody's word. Somebody just told us that.
Right.
You know, I mean, you say, hey, this is what God said.
Because there's a lot of people that will just take someone else's word for fact and then not back it up with the word. If we go back to Ephesians 1, in verses 8 and 9, we see this idea. It says, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him. And also in Ephesians 5, we see the idea in Ephesians 5:10, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And also in 17, it tells us, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So we see ideas up here that we need to know what the Lord's will is, and we are equipped with a way to know what it is. We also see the idea in 6:17, where it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So this is, we see that this Word of God, that we can use this to protect ourselves and to understand what the will of the Lord is. If we say that we're followers of Him, then wouldn't it make sense that we would want to know what His will is? I mean, because you see people that they'll say, oh yeah, I'm Christian, but they might not know a whole lot of what that really means. And it's just error that people have been brought up in. They just don't know. It's ignorance.
Is it ignorance or is it ignoring?
It could be either or. Sometimes it's ignorance. Just myself, for example. I didn't have any background on that. But you have enough of hearing things from other people. I was like, well, I could see the things around me, and I believe that there was a creator, and you hear about Jesus and stuff. And so I was like, hey, y'all don't know. Hey, me and God, we know, but I don't know, because that's not what the Word teaches. There's more to it than me just saying, oh, He knows. And if I didn't know enough where I was willing to try to understand that anymore, mm-hmm. than any more than that. So I think ignorance can be, but there's also people to the point where it's, they don't want to believe. They do ignore it because it doesn't fit their lifestyle or the way that they want to live their life. So I think it could be either or.
Mm-hmm. They're bothered their conscience.
Sir?
They're bothered their conscience. They think about it. So they don't want to.
They don't want to think about it, huh?
Bothered conscience.
It's back to the Gone with the Wind principle.
And we see this, I just noted that, you know, if we're doing these things, it can keep us from doing what was stated in Ephesians 4:30. We see this idea in 4:30, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So, we see that these things that were provided for us, gives us instruction. And by not following this, grieve the Holy Spirit. Now we looked at the main divisions of the book, chapter 1 through 3 and 4 through 6. And in chapters 1 through 3, they tell us or remind us of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. And then, like we've said, chapter 4 through 6 builds on this by explaining our walk, or our life after the understanding of what was done for us. And after what we'd seen in 1 through 3, chapter 4, 1 says, starts off, therefore walk. And now, what we're going to do is, we're going to look at some specific lessons on our life or walk as a Christian. Let's start off in chapter 4. In chapter 4, note the words, one. I put the question, what are they referring to? You should have seen seven different ones that were mentioned. It's in verse 3 and following. Well, verse 3 said the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And verse 4 says there is one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. So, what does that cause a problem for possibly for other beliefs?
Entirely.
Okay.
Well, they say as long as you believe in God, you're okay.
Right.
But there's 10 different ways to believe in God in their eyes.
Right. So some might say, I'm not in your denomination, but you believe in God, so it's okay. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Well, no, there's one way.
Correct. So we see that there's one way, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Have you heard of different kinds of baptisms? Yeah. Infant baptism.
Sprinkling.
What the word even baptism means as far as sprinkling and all that. So we see this unity. The chapter theme, I put the unity of the Spirit among God's people. Now, in verse 7, are there any more thoughts or comments on the ones?
Craig, one comment I had is, when you look at the 7 ones in verses 4 through 6, you think if we were writing it, that we would probably, who would we start with? We would start with God the Father. God the Father is listed last. It's interesting in verse 6 about God the Father, in the last part of it, it says, one God the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
Right.
And I get the sense when I read that it was his plan, his providence. He's the one, kind of the planner of our salvation, and kind of gets back to what we talked about earlier about praising, God. It's his plan that we be unified, and he's put it last. And yes. Kind of emphasizing the overall encompassing of his plan.
Yes, sir.
Kind of corresponds with the creation. The last thing he created was his, mankind. So,
okay. In verse 7, verse 7 through 11 talk about He, Christ. And then in verse 11, it says that He gave. Okay? So what did He give according to verse 11? It says He gave some as
apostles, prophets, and teachers.
Okay?
He also gave us the gift of grace. Just up above that.
Okay. And where are you referring to, sir?
Number 7.
Okay.
He gave each one of us the special gift of grace, showing how generous He is.
Okay. So we see that the grace that He's given for us. And in these 5 things that He gave, what are listed? What 5 things did He give us?
Apostles, prophets, evangelists, elders, and teachers.
Okay. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, elders or pastors, and teachers. And in verse 12 through 13, why were these given?
Prepare God's holy people for the work of service.
Okay, so it's to prepare us or equip us for the work of service. Okay, and the building up of the body of Christ. And until what?
We attain the unity of faith.
Unity of faith, okay. And of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So these things were put in place to help us to, I guess you could say, to know and understand and to grow. But the first, let's look at the five things. Two, did you notice that two are people that
don't exist.
No longer exist, okay? And also that term's also used in a certain way that we're going to look at. But why couple these together? What do they have in common with these other three?
The Word. They're all learners of the Word and teachers.
Okay. Okay, all learners of the Word and all teachers.
They're gifts that help us to come to the unity of the Spirit.
Okay. So that, these are the ways that we can obtain what's being said here.
Without them, we wouldn't know the mystery of Christ.
Correct.
That's what I meant.
Great. This verse about, of course, you're going to give to the apostles and prophets. I'm kind of comment on evangelists, pastors, and teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So, God's plan was you have these five groups of people, all teachers, to prepare us for the unity. I always wonder, to what degree is God's providence involved? For example, how much was he involved in setting up Steve Fontana to become an evangelist?
Mm-hmm.
And then how much was God involved in bringing us to be here to hear Steve preach? You had providence. Okay, he gave these things. Well, is it just the office and here are your duties and this is the purpose? Or is it even further? And I guess I don't really, really know that or not.
Right.
I tend to be persuaded that God's involved more than what we think. On the Sermon on the Mount, you remember Matthew 7:7, it says, "Seek and you shall find." Okay? And so, I'm seeking. Well, is God completely out of the picture? I think he's got some involvement there in bringing us to the Word. And so when I look at these things, it kind of always brings up that question mark, well, how much is God involved? And I think more than what we know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
More than what we can truly know.
To be able to prove.
Yeah. Right. Yes, sir.
It's like
yes,
the doctor. It's not like a science. I mean, you know, they're not facts involved. Say, okay, we'll say this, so that proves God. You know, but we believe it's by faith. We believe that God is controlling, he's moving, he's working, he's living. He's a living God.
He provides us with opportunities, but we still have the choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He looks like he lays the path, but you have to walk on it.
Okay.
God is always. Tell people when you talk about spouses and stuff, I always say, you know, my husband's my divine blessing from God. You know, I had to act on that. Maybe it is, maybe it's not, but he sure is a blessing, you know. Steve sure is a blessing, but all the people who realize he's a blessing have to realize it.
Now, you know, I'm recording this. I'm going to play this for Ryan.
I definitely agree. I think he's more active in our lives than we realize.
Well, and we know that he is, just like Rocky saying, being able to prove at what involvement, you know, directly is. It's hard to.
I'll think about that with you. And how far you have come.
Yeah.
By meeting Dawn.
Yes.
And Dawn.
I'd have been in trouble if that wouldn't happen. If I still would have been alive. So
how many spouses would be in trouble if they wouldn't have met their spouse?
That's true.
I know my dad would have been. My dad never would have been converted if it wasn't for my mom.
And I did kind of go back to what Jimmy Crane was talking about in verse 7, you know, about the gift.
Yes, sir.
It's free, it's there, but we have to do something to get the gift.
Yes, sir.
Hebrews 5:12 talks about, and this is the other side of that, it says, concerning him we have made much to say, it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Okay, here's the opportunity that they had to learn and to know. And Paul says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you. So here's someone who has failed to take heed and to listen. They've become dull of hearing. So they make the opposite choice of what we've been talking about, you know, opportunities that are there and making the choice to do what is right and to read and understand.
Right.
Here in Hebrews, we see people who did not, and the result of that. And so
it's a flip side.
Both sides, mm-hmm. You know, that choice still lies with us to do.
Yes, sir.
And so we see both sides of that in the scriptures. If we don't, and then again, if we do. Okay.
Okay. Yes, sir. Is there any more thoughts or comments or good comments? Now, although we no longer have apostles and prophets in the sense of still revealing new things, I put it that way because some people think we do. That's why I worded it in that way. But no, we don't have apostles and prophets in the sense of still revealing new things. Because we know that these no longer exist. There is a sense that they do still exist. And that's in what we read.
They remain alive in the Word.
Okay. So, there is a sense they still exist. Not in the way that others would like to believe it, but in what has been written. Now, we have examples of this being used in this way. We'll look over at Luke for a second. We're very familiar with Luke 16. Now this was when talking about the rich man and Lazarus in verse 29. Well, let's jump up to verse 27. And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, in order that they may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." So at this point, the rich man is trying to warn his brothers so they too don't fall into the same torment. But then in verse 29, it says, "But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." So, what was that being referred to?
Their word, what they had written.
Okay, what they had written, because Moses had probably been dead for about 1,500 years. So
they had the law of Moses.
Okay, the law of Moses.
And the writings of the prophets.
The writings. So they had their warning. So they...
They're still available to them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The gift was there. They had to be something else.
And the point was that, hey, they have a way of knowing, you know, bringing you back from the dead's not going to change that. So they have the writings, and we too have the writings.
Well, corresponds with Galatians' first chapter, when the Apostle Paul is talking about, even if an angel, you know, preaches any other gospel, you must be preaching.
Which they've heard from,
Yeah.
Okay. So now we talked about the first two that were mentioned here, the apostles and the prophets. And then the other three mentioned are, I put the term ordinary people. And what I mean is, they might be an evangelist or a pastor or a preacher. Evangelist, pastor, teacher. I know that doesn't sound right there. But those are people. Those are people like you and me. And where they learned was from the apostles and the prophets. If they're doing it right anyway. Because that's where we all need to be getting our information from, is God's Word. So the apostles and the prophets were guided by the Holy Spirit. And so if this is a learned thing, and I'm talking about not the apostles and the prophets, but the others, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers, if these three things are learned things, what does that tell us about those that are evangelists, pastors, and teachers?
They have to have a knowledge of the Word.
Okay, they have to have a knowledge of the Word. And it's what I don't remember who mentioned it earlier, that they were all students.
The Holy Spirit had knowledge.
guided the evangelist, pastors, and
apostles, prophets.
Right. He. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But I was talking about the evangelist, pastors, and teachers. They're students of the word.
Students of the word. That's right.
Yes, sir. And they weren't. These weren't just zapped with knowledge. They had to do something, didn't they, to be able to do what they're doing. They had to grow. They had to study. And so we see that we are to use these to grow so that we will no longer be children in that sense. We are to be mature. Ephesians 4, 14 through 15, when it was talking about these other things, says, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, Christ. And of course, like we've mentioned on other comments, this isn't limited to this book or this writer. We can see this in other places. I mentioned 2 Peter. We're over there for a second. 2 Peter 3, 15 through 18. And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote you. As also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the Scripture, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men, and fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the end, or to the day of eternity. And we see that idea, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as Steve's mentioned and stuff, we see before the idea of the grow in the knowledge of His grace.
That's a good point you make there, Craig. And, you know, and I think that's what we're doing in this class. We're looking at all the spiritual blessings. Because when you look at but grow in the grace, you know, grace is God's unmerited favor of man. We can't really do that if I understand that right.
Okay.
But so you have grace and knowledge. They're really not two things, but one thing. It grows, like you mentioned, growing in the knowledge of His grace. Now, during this class, thinking about all these spiritual blessings, we're really seeing, you know, God's grace for us. We're growing in that knowledge as we continue to study.
Yes, sir.
I think it's a really good point.
Yes, sir. Thank you. That's, I mean, a lot of this stuff, because when you think about everything that's been done, I know I bring that up a lot, but I think that's where it started. I mean that's where this book starts. All these blessings that's been done, and it's just a great thing. And because of that, and because of God being our Creator, I mean, He's worthy of our worship. And we understand that that's not just when we assemble together. I mean, worship has to do with how we're going to live because of Him being worthy of praise and devotion. And we can really see these blessings that God has given us.
Which flows into our next point about walking.
Sir?
Which flows into our next point about walking.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well.
Yes, sir. Yeah, because it should cause us to want to walk that way. I think I mentioned before in class, I mean, when you think about everything that's been done, and we know in the blessing of that's been provided us, we know that those that are obedient have the blessing and the promise of heaven. And that's a wonderful blessing. When I think of all these things that have been done, or when we think about all these things that have been done for us, yes, we should want this wonderful blessing of heaven, but just knowing this great love that's been shown for us, shouldn't it cause us to want to serve this God? Because He really doesn't ask for very much from us in comparison to what has been provided.
Yes. Maybe the word is appreciation.
Appreciation?
It helps us to be able to appreciate more what God has done for us. You know?
Okay.
Better understand what grace is and where it's all about.
And if we're wanting to be appreciative, then we're going to have the attitude to better understand what, because this is going to explain what He's done and what He wants us to do.
Sure, our appreciation by the way we walk.
Okay, so appreciation by the way we walk. I think we have about, was it 7:45 on the, well, we got a couple minutes. Are there any other thoughts or comments or? So, in Ephesians 4, 1 through 16, we could title this section as Unity. Okay. And now in what is being spoken of in 4, 17 through 32.
The Christian's law.
Okay, the Christian's walk. So this is contrasting the old and the new and what we should do or not do because of this. So we see this idea of our walk, or you see a lot of walk no longer. So it just shows what our attitude towards these things ought to be. Okay, well if y'all want to just get ahead a couple more pages, that's probably what we'll cover in our next class. So, thank y'all for y'all's comments and y'all's attention.